Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson on Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 13. Here is the question. Did our first parents continue in the estate wherein they were created? Answer. Our first parents, being left to the freedom of their own will, fell from the estate wherein they were created by sinning against God. Yes, Adam and Eve were our first perfect parents. They were our first historical and perfect parents. It's hard for us to believe that all of humanity stemmed from this first pair. Listen to Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Yes, God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. How could millions of people come from a single pair? The earth today is populated by over 7 billion people. That's billion with a B. Of course, we must consider Noah and his family. When the flood came, all of humanity was destroyed, except for Noah, Noah's wife, his 3 sons, and the 3 wives of the 3 sons. These 8 individuals. And God gave a similar command to Noah. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so, how did all of these people come from such a few and from a single pair? Well, think about the nation of Israel. Israel went down into Egypt 70 strong. And Israel was in Egypt for 430 years. When Israel came out of Egypt, the Bible tells us that the group of people consisted of 600,000 men, excluding the women and children. Think about this now. 600,000 men, plus the women. 1,200,000 if they were married. And what about children? Add another 600,000 as far as the children are concerned, and probably many more. At least 2 million people came up out of Egypt, coming from the original 70 that went down into Egypt. Adam lived 930 years. Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. If after 430 years, there were 2 million people that came and stemmed from 70 individuals, consider then that there were at least 1 million people that existed on the face of the earth after Adam and Eve lived for 430 years. And then add another 400 years. From 1 million people, how many would come? Millions. And then think about Noah and his family. 8 individuals and the world being populated. It's not numerically impossible. It's not statistically impossible that 7 billion people over the years could have stemmed from Noah and his family and originally from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were our first historical parents, and they were created good. That's what God said. They were created with true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. They understood who God was. They understood who they were as God's creatures. They understood that God would judge them if they disobeyed Him. And they in turn could make proper judgments in the world. And they were holy. They were properly set apart from God, or to the purposes of God, I should say. Not from God, but to the purposes of God. They were good in every respect. You remember what the lawyer said to Jesus, and Jesus countered him. He came to Jesus and called him good teacher, and Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." If you recognize Jesus Christ as God, you could call Him good. And so Adam and Eve were our first historical and perfect parents. And their original estate was an exotic and astounding, exquisite garden. The most exotic and exquisite garden imaginable. Look at Genesis 2, verses 10 and following. "Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first was Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. The bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates." Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." Yes, Adam and Eve were placed into an exquisite garden. Have you ever been to a place where the trees are preserved so that visitors can look at the trees and marvel at the vegetation that grows around them, a beautiful arboretum? Have you ever been to such a place where you could look up into the sky and see the tops of the trees barely? And you could look at the varieties of trees, the oaks and the elms and the maples and the dogwood trees, the pear and the cherry and all of the different varieties of flowering trees. Up and down the street in front of our home, there used to be flowering trees bordering the street. They're no longer there. They've been replaced by stately oaks. And you can go into greenhouses that have beautiful gardens that are on display. And you can see all manner of variety of foliage with beautiful multicolored leaves and flowers that you rarely see except in the tropics. Calvin says that when Adam and Eve entered the garden, it was a place of most glorious splendor. And since the fall, we can hardly conceive of the beauty and the wonder and the extraordinary nature of the garden into which Adam and Eve were placed. It was a most beautiful and exquisite garden beyond our imagination. This was the original state of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve also had a freedom of will unknown to the likes of you and me. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die." Here, Adam and Eve had an opportunity to choose between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life was a sacrament. And I'm sure that Adam and Eve did eat of the tree of life. And when they ate of the tree of life, they celebrated the life that God was pleased to give them in the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I have called the tree of death. Because if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. And eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would not be a celebration of life, but it would be a celebration of disobedience and the consequences of disobedience, which is death. Verses 4 and 5 in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The serpent tempted Adam and Eve, and the serpent was able to sway Adam and Eve from their original perfection into the degradation of evil, the fall, and death. Now think about this. Think about our current state as Christians, as individuals who love Jesus Christ. Isn't it true that in the depth of your heart, you desire to serve God? The bent of your heart, the inclination of your heart is to serve God. But you are often tempted, and there is the drag of evil, the drag of the old man, the drag of sin that is upon you. And you recognize the fact that that old man is present, that the drag of sin is present. Adam and Eve had no such drag upon their lives. They were not divided, as it were, between that which is evil on one hand and that which is good on the other hand. They did not experience that kind of drag upon their lives. They were totally different than we are. They were, as it were, in a state of equilibrium. Yes, their hearts were inclined toward good, and they could justly, but they could be changed. But now, after the fall, what does the Bible say? In Genesis chapter 6, in Genesis chapter 6, what does it say? "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The bent of the heart of men and women was changed from good to evil. And they were incapable of doing good. We call this total depravity. And what is required, the new birth is required, if individuals are going to be changed so that they in turn can do good. Adam and Eve needed no such thing. They were already good. Their hearts were already inclined toward God, you see. And then think about how we will be in heaven. In heaven, you and I, by the grace of God, will be completely changed. We will be made perfect in holiness, and we will be given new bodies that comport with the life of heaven, that are suited for life in heaven. They are spiritual bodies suited for the spiritual realm. And in heaven, we will be dedicated to God, and there will be no turning back. We will not be able to turn back away from God and turn to evil. This was not the case for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were capable of change. They were left to the freedom of their own will. And so they were in a circumstance of perfection in the garden with a freedom of will unknown to the likes of you and me. And in this full perfection, Adam and Eve sinned against God and fell from the estate of perfection. Genesis chapter 3 and verses 7 and following. Then the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." The Bible says that Adam and Eve had their eyes opened. Now, what does this mean? They were already in a state of perfection before God. I call this a negative conversion experience. Do you remember the disciples on the Emmaus Road? They walked with Jesus after the resurrection, but they did not recognize him. And then they broke bread with Jesus. They ate with him. And in the breaking of bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized who Jesus was. And then the text tells us that he disappeared from their sight. Yes, their eyes were opened to recognize the Lord of glory. Now, in the garden, the eyes of Adam and Eve were already opened to recognize the Lord of glory. And the Bible says, in a statement of irony, that their eyes were opened. Far from it. Their eyes were closed. Their eyes were closed to the glory of God. Their eyes were opened in another way. Their eyes were opened to their nakedness and their fear and their shame. They ran and hid themselves, and they were afraid of the Lord, and they experienced shame. They experienced fear and shame for the first time. And then, look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 and following. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and live forever." Another statement of irony. The Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us." Like one of us? Far from it. He is not like one of us. He was like us, good in holiness, righteousness, and truth, but now he is fallen, and he is no longer set apart to the things of God. Ha! Like one of us. Yes. And as a result of the fall, what did God do? God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which he turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Adam and Eve are now sent out of paradise. They were excommunicated. They were sent out from the gracious, loving presence of God to fend for themselves. Not separated from God totally, still under the providence of God, but separated from the love and the grace of God. They could no longer partake of the tree of life and celebrate the life that God was pleased to give them because they had fallen from the life that God had given to them. They fell from the magnificent estate of perfection. And dear friends, they dragged you and me down with them. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Yes, because of the sin of Adam, you and I are dragged down into the pit of death and hell. You and I face the judgment and condemnation of God because we sinned in Him and fell with Him. We'll have opportunity to talk about this more as we explore the catechism. But it's enough for you and I to see. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. There is death in the world today, and men and women die. There is such a thing as a cemetery. And if you go to the cemetery, you see the graves of all of those who have gone before us, who have suffered death. And why do they suffer death? Because death came into the world as the result of the sin of Adam. And death and sin have come to you and me. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. And how did you sin, and how did I sin? You and I sinned in Adam, and we fell in Adam. Yes, and we inherited a sinful nature from Adam. And as a result of the inheritance of this sinful nature, we not only sinned in Adam and fell with him, but we continued to sin as a result of our sinful nature. Yes, the sinful nature coming to you and to me as a result of the fall. And what do? We willfully sin. We don't do things contrary to our wills. No, we sin in complete accordance with what we desire to do. And so we are responsible for every sin we commit. All of this means, friends, that you and I need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ to come into the world and to deliver us from the sin and death we inherited from Adam. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself up for us. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who purchased for us the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that in Him we are born again, and in Him we have new life, that the curse of death is overturned, and our sin and the sin of Adam is forgiven. Listen to the Catechism once again. Did our first parents continue in the estate wherein they were created? Our first parents, being left to the freedom of their own will, fell from the estate wherein they were created by sinning against God. And that sin encompassed you and me. And therefore, you and I need Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.